بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. And tonight's topic is a maybe I could use the term an exciting topic for a lot of our youth which they like to hear, but I'm not. Well, not the only reason that I'm talking about this topic tonight is for the sake of excitement, just listening to it. It's for the sake of us knowing our religion and what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as-sadiq al-masduq, that one that only tells truth, had told us and put us in expectation. The topic is about the Mahdi. A topic that a lot of people speak about, and a topic a lot of people get into dispute in, and a topic that a lot of people would like to hear. Before I really get into my topic tonight about the Mahdi, I'll just put you in a picture. The topic of the Mahdi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to constantly speak about the Mahdi, but did not give us a full history about the Mahdi in a way that you could write books about in hundreds of pages. Or the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned a lot of things about the Mahdi. He did speak about the Mahdi. He mentioned him many times. He spoke about the future of that great man that Allah azza wa jalla will use to uphold his religion, but did not get into intense as what we hear these days, books being published and a lot of fabricated ahadith around that topic. And I think when we started our lessons about the Day of Judgment, and then when we went into the signs of the Day of Judgment, I mentioned this point when it comes to the unseen things, which is the Day of Judgment is one of them. When it comes to the Day of Judgment, the unseen things, there's a lot of fabricated ahadith into this topic. A lot of unauthentic ahadith being mentioned, whether it's been mentioned deliberately or not deliberately. When I mean deliberately, like, you know, being pushed in by the Jews or being pushed in by sects, or undeliberately is when people just mention it, or a scholar might sit down and describe something that his opinion is about it, and then people take the opinion of that scholar and put it under the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's about the Day of Judgment in general, especially when it comes to the topic of the Mahdi, because it's a very, very sensitive topic that talks about the future of the Muslims. There is a lot more fabricated ahadith into them. And I've been researching into this topic for hours and hours. Just today by itself, I put about 7 hours into this topic just to clarify those ahadith. Just to know which hadith I could sit down as person being entrusted to give the knowledge, which hadith I could mention on the behalf of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that's authentic, and which hadith which is not. Because sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده في النار. Whoever lies on me deliberately or with intention, then let him prepare his position in the hellfire. So we cannot just assume of something the Prophet ﷺ said, or cannot make up something that just because I think it's that, put it under the name of the Prophet ﷺ. So when it comes to the topic of the Mahdi, there is a lot of fabricated. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. And tonight's topic is a, maybe I could use the term, an exciting topic for a lot of our youth which they like to hear, but I'm not, or not the only reason that I'm talking about this topic tonight is for the sake of excitement, just listening to it, is for the sake of us knowing our religion, and what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as-sadiq al-masduq, that one that only tells truth, had told us and put us in expectation. The topic is about the Mahdi. A topic that a lot of people speak about, and a topic a lot of people get into dispute in, and a topic that a lot of people would like to hear. Before I really get into my topic tonight about the Mahdi, I'll just put you in a picture. The topic of the Mahdi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to constantly speak about the Mahdi, but did not give us a full history about the Mahdi in a way that you could write books about in hundreds of pages. Or the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam mentioned a lot of things about the Mahdi. He did speak about the Mahdi. He mentioned him many times. He spoke about the future of that great man that Allah Azza wa Jalla will use to uphold his religion, but did not get into intense as what we hear these days, books being published and a lot of fabricated ahadith around that topic. And I think when we started our lessons about the Day of Judgment, and then when we went into the signs of the Day of Judgment, I mentioned this point. When it comes to the unseen things, which is the Day of Judgment is one of them. When it comes to the Day of Judgment, the unseen things, there's a lot of fabricated ahadith into this topic. A lot of unauthentic ahadith being mentioned. Whether it's been mentioned deliberately or not deliberately. When I mean deliberately, like, you know, being pushed in by the Jews, or being pushed in by sects, or undeliberately is when people just mention it, or a scholar might sit down and describe something that his opinion stops for a short time, then appears. Now, with the major sign, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, it's like a chain. Once one appears, all follows. Once one appears, all follows. And that's why sallallahu alayhi wasallam describes the appearance of Imam Mahdi, or describes the appearance of Mahdi as the end of the world. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if there was only one day left for this world to end, Allah Azza wa Jalla will keep this day to send someone from my descendants. His name is, his first name is my first name, and his second name, his father's name, is my father's name, which we conclude to that his name is Muhammad bin Abdullah. Okay, the Mahdi. What does the word or the term Mahdi mean? Mahdi comes as a gaira, means as a gaira. Mahdi, it comes, derives from the word al-hadi, and then derives into the Mahdi. Mahdi because he's a gaira to the people. He guides people to the righteous path. He guides people to the right path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send him. As I said, he's a descendant of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And as I said, Allah azza wa jal, if he kept one day for this world, will keep up for this man to come. And as I said, he is a beginning for the major signs. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam not only spoke about the Mahdi, but he even spoke about the preparation, or the signs that tell you about the Imam al-Mahdi that had appeared. So he does not just come up like that. Okay, it doesn't just come out, just like the Mahdi is born. Now there's things that come before. Okay, before we get into those things that come before Imam al-Mahdi, as I said, number one thing, the Prophet ﷺ said, his name is his first name is my first name, and his father's name is my father's name, and he comes and he is the son of Fatima. Okay, and the scholars, majority of them say he'll come from the descendants of Al-Hasan. He'll come from the descendants of Al-Hasan, where Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had two boys, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. Majority of scholars say Al-Hasan, he comes from that descendants. And as you all know, that Imam Al-Hasan radiallahu ta'ala anhu pulled out from the Khilafah after he took over from his father Ali ibn Abi Talib after he was assassinated. Al-Hasan took it for 6 months, and then he resigned for the sake of the Muslims to unite. He resigned for the sake of the Muslims to unite. So that was one of the indications that allowed the scholars to say he is from the descendants of Al-Hasan. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أجل الجبهة أقنى الأنف. He describes his description, how he looks. Alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, he's got a very clear forehead. That means he's a bit baldy from the front. See how some people, their hair covers up to there, half of their forehead, and some people are baldy there. Baldness goes all the way to the back. Al-Mahdi, Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Alawi al-Fatimi, when I say al-Alawi, I refer that he is from Ali. Al-Fatimi, I refer that he is from Fatima. He is baldy, that some of the scholars said goes back all the way maybe to half of his head. So that's the first description, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that his forehead, that he does not have hair all the way to at the back of his hair, yani, at the back of his head, that means he's baldy. And he's got a long nose, okay? He's got a long nose, not long nose to the stage, that's abnormal, okay? The normal long nose, and he's got a gap in the middle of the beginning of the nose, and in the middle of the nose, here, it goes down, like it's very weak or very light. That's what they call aqna al-anf. That's how the Prophet ﷺ described him, aqna al-anf, that he's got his nose a bit long, and in the middle of it, it goes down, slides down. Okay, so that's the description of al-Mahdi, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him with that description. And alayhi salatu wa sallam, he says, al-Mahdi min itrati al-bayt, that al-Mahdi is from my family. Al-Mahdi, he is from my family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send him to fill up the world. Okay, that's a description of him. Allah Azza wa Jalla will send him to apply justice and peace in this world the way it was oppressed and unjust. That means before the Mahdi comes, this world will be so bad in a way that will be so much injustice. There will be unjust rulers and there will be unjust khulafa, that they rule with corruption, and the world will fill the whole world. Not the only one or two countries, the whole world will be filled with injustice. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also said that Allah would not send Mahdi until there will be no one allowed to say Allah, Allah. That's another indication. Okay, that's another indication that before Imam al-Mahdi comes, people will be not allowed to implement Islam. People will not be allowed to implement Islam to the stage to say Allah. And that's what the hadith says, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will send the Mahdi in a time where people are not allowed to say Allah, Allah. And just by saying Allah, Allah, you'll be killed or you'll be tortured. Then what about when you practice your religion? So you could imagine the time and the era that Imam al-Mahdi will appear in. It's a time of injustice, oppression, a time of aggression, time of no peace at all, time of harm on people and injustice rulers around. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the Mahdi on the dispute of people. That means people will be disunited and people will be divided, and there will be so much dispute among people that people hate each other, and wars against this tribe or against this country or against that nation. And that's the time and era that you could picture that the Imam al-Mahdi will come, where it will be a time of wars, a time of dispute, a time of conflict. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adds on the hadith, and a time of a lot of earthquakes, and a time of a lot of earthquakes. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, okay, and that's a very clear sign of the Imam al-Mahdi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, the authentic hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the Mahdi in a time with three children or three sons of a khalifa. Okay? Allah Azza wa Jalla will send the Mahdi in a time with three sons or children of one Khalifa. They'll dispute over a treasure or wealth they find after the death of their father. That means this Khalifa has three children, three men. Then he'll die. Then his three children will dispute between one another over a treasure that they'll find. And this treasure, some of the scholars said, is that treasure that the Prophet ﷺ said and mentioned about the Euphrates River. And I mentioned that that's one of the minor signs that alayhi salatu wasalam said that the Euphrates River, and this Euphrates River is one of those greatest rivers in the world that's in the middle of Iraq. Okay, Iraq, everyone knows Iraq, especially after the war. It cuts through all the way, half of Iraq. It's a great river with a great width and a great width and length. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, this river will dry up. And after it dries up, a treasure of gold will appear. People will fight over this gold that out of every 1,999 will be killed. Out of every 1,000 that fights over this treasure, 999 of them will be killed. Everyone says, I wish if I'm the one that will survive. Some scholars said this treasure, that these three children of this Khalifa that passed away will fight over this treasure. Others say, no, it's the treasure under the Kaaba. There's a treasure that's been hidden under the Kaaba, will appear at that time and they'll fight over it. When they fight over it, at this time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send this great man, Al-Mahdi. Will send this great man, Al-Mahdi. Another sign, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that people from Khurasan, and Khurasan is that side which they used to call behind the river, and the closest river to the Arabs, they used to call the area behind the river, or the countries behind the river, and the river, or the closest river to the Arabs, is the Euphrates River. That means what's behind it, it's Iran, and Afghanistan, and all Dagestan, all those countries towards the east. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, people will come with black flags, coming to kill you one after another. They will come to kill you one after another, and then you'll hear about the Mahdi. Go and give him bay'ah. And bay'ah is a pledge that you put your hand in his hand, making a pledge and a promise that I listen and obey for everything you say and order me, whether I accept or don't accept it, I like it, I don't like it, in my easy days or my hard days, I obey. This is what they call the bay'ah. And the Prophet ﷺ used to take the bay'ah from the companions when they used to accept Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and then there'll be a man protecting himself with the Kaaba. And I'll tell you the story from behind how he protects himself in the Kaaba. He'll protect himself with the Kaaba. This man is from my family. If you hear about him, go, even if you could crawl over the ice. Even if you crawl over the ice, get to him and give him bay'ah. On his hands, Allah is going to give victory. On his hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give victory. This man Al-Mahdi, before we get into details, he's not a prophet, he's not a messenger. So take those two concepts out of the Mahdi. He's not a prophet, he's not a messenger. Which we conclude to by me saying he's not a prophet and he's not a messenger. That means he does not get any revelation from Allah. Jibreel does not come down to him. He does not get any revelation from Allah. Maybe the revelation he gets in his heart, what he feels good to, or where his heart and his wisdom guides him. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, the wisdom of the believer, it's his guider. It guides him to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to be. At that time, as I said, will be a time of conflict, time of corruption, time of earthquakes, time of injustice, no peace, people hate each other, people dislike each other, people fight against each other, nation against the nation, tribe against the tribe, country against country, city against city. There will be a time, a man from Damascus. Damascus is the capital city of Syria. A man from Damascus will appear, his name Al-Sufyani. He's from the descendants of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, the companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He'll appear, and this man, he'll get so much support that he'll rule. He'll rule majority of the lands around him. And he'll have a great army, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And he'll send an army to Iraq, and an army to Egypt, and an army to all around the countries around him. And this man will be so strong and have open so many countries, and he'll have victory over a lot of people. And he's a very aggressive man that kills the old men, kills the young children. And he And he abuses the woman. He abuses the woman. And he attacks anyone in front of him. And he'll open these countries. When he hears about the Mahdi appearing, when he hears about the Mahdi appearing in Mecca, and how people are giving the bay'ah to the Mahdi in Mecca, around the Kaaba, between the Hazar and the Maqam, between the Maqam and the Rukun, Afwan, between the Maqam and the Rukun, which is a two corners that are named of the Kaaba, people will be giving him bay'ah, and inshallah we'll go through the description of people giving him the bay'ah. When this Sufyani, this aggressive and oppressive leader, hears about the Mahdi being given bay'ah, and people going to him from all around the world to him, he sends an army of thousands of men to go and capture him. He sends an army of thousands of men to go and capture him and kill him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah will order Jibreel to hit the ground of the desert where they are, and this desert will destroy them. So while they're coming to the Mahdi, after they go through Medina and destroy Medina and destroy the people of Medina, or kill the people of Medina and abuse the women and kids, they'll be going towards Mecca chasing behind the Mahdi. On the way in the desert, Allah Azza wa Jalla will destroy them. Allah will destroy them. Just like that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, and who will be saved? So sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the only one will be saved is someone to go and tell his people what happened to them. Will be only someone to go and tell his people, to send the news to his people what happened to them. They'll be destroyed, they'll be vanished out of nowhere by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people hear about that, they know that this man that people are giving bay'ah to in the haram, next to the Kaaba, is the true Mahdi. So everyone from around the world will be going to him. All Muslims from around the world will put all the effort to try and meet this man, to put their hands in his hand, and to give him the pledge that they are with him all the way. Now this man, as I said, that he originally from Medina. A narration narrates, okay, Allahu A'lam, as I said, when I say a narration narrates, that's a saying of scholars of what they rely on, maybe weak ahadith. A narration narrates that he'll be born in Medina. He'll be born in Medina. Other narration says he's in from the west, but the majority of scholars say he comes from the east. He comes from the east. Whereabouts in the east? Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. Allah Himself knows. He'll be in Medina. The Mahdi will be in Medina because he's from the descendants of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the rulers of Medina and the rulers of Mecca will turn against the descendants of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And it's not only him, this may be thousands of them. Allah alam how many of them will be at that time, which now there's hundreds of thousands of them that are from the descendants of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the other ones we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, which is Ali Muhammad, the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or the descendants of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They'll be in Medina, and the khulafa or the leaders at that time will turn against them, they'll start killing them. So few of them will run from Medina to Mecca. And among those few is the Mahdi. And then they go to the Kaaba, and around the Rukun and the Maqam, there'll be the Mahdi. People will notice that's the Mahdi. Then they'll force him for the bay'ah. And please highlight the word force him for the bay'ah. That means this man does not stand up. Does not stand up to the people and say, I am the Mahdi, I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah, I am the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and spoke about, come and give me bay'ah. Once someone stands up and say, Alhamdulillah, we know that you're not the Mahdi. We know that you're not the Mahdi, because a lot of people in the past tried that. Till this day, people are trying to say they are the Mahdi. So this man is forced to be given the pledge. And the first time he refuses. And then the second time, he'll be forced by the people. And the hadith says that there'll be people from the Sham. From the Sham, when we say the Sham, Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, Jordan, that's called the Bilad al-Sham. There'll be the number of the people of Badr, 313. They'll give him bay'ah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he'll be a man with no strength of power or weapons or numbers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change him. Allah Azza wa Jalla will change him over one day and night. So this man will be just a normal man. He'll be a normal man. Maybe he hasn't even got the high, or he hasn't got the strong piety or the iman. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change his taqwa and his iman and his personality all in one day and night. And he becomes a leader that leads and rules the whole world. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام قال في الحديث يصلح الله في ليلة, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fix him or change him one night, he'll change and he'll appear as the Mahdi, and then people force him, they'll give him bay'ah between the rukun and the maqam, and then when the Sufyani comes, tries to attack him and they'll be destroyed in the desert, the news goes around. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, people from the Iraq and from the Sham and from all around the world will come to the Mahdi to give him the bay'ah, to give him the pledge, and then the strength of the number of the army of the Mahdi will start growing and growing and growing, that his word is all around the world and everyone's hearing of him all around the world, and he becomes the strongest man with the strongest army. An army, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تزال عصابة من أمتي يقاتلون لله سبحانه وتعالى ظاهرين إلى يوم القيامة, that till my time to the day of judgment, from my time to the day of judgment, there is a gang of my nation, or a group of my nation, a small crowd of my nation, fighting for the haq, fighting for Allah, that appear only for Allah till the day of judgment. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Isa. So at the time of the Mahdi, Isa comes down. And the coming down, the descendants of Isa, is the beginning of the major signs. So as I said, Al-Mahdi is the last of the minor sign, the beginning of the major sign, which concludes to Isa coming down. And then Isa alayhi salam will come down, as he said about himself, As-salamu alayhi yama walidtu wa yama umutu wa yama umutu wa yama ub'athu hayya, and peace be upon me when I was born, and when I die, when I come back again. So Isa alayhi salam comes back again, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in all his hadith, he said he comes down leaning on two angels, whereabouts, on a minaret, the eastern side of Damascus, and there is a white minaret, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described a white minaret, the eastern side of Damascus, he'll descend down leaning his two hands on two angels, who'll come down, he'll destroy the cross, kill the pork, and spill the wine, and then he'll follow Isa, he'll follow Al-Mahdi. He'll follow Al-Mahdi and chase up with the Mahdi, catch up with the Mahdi, and he'll catch him up with the praying. So it's time for the prayer, and it's time to put an imam. So the Mahdi, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, tells Isa, oh Isa, you're a prophet, you're a messenger, come and become imam. He says, La, by Allah, you guys, you are the nation of Muhammad, you are an imam over each other, as a respect for the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as an honor for the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam says, an individual from my nation will become an imam over Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. That's how great the individuals, the righteous individuals of this nation. That's how great the righteous individuals of this nation. So this Mahdi will start from Mecca, from around the Kaaba. People will start coming from all around the world to come and give the Mahdi the bay'ah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he'll stay 7 years or 8 years or maybe 9 years. So the minimum is 7, the maximum is 9. 9 what? Years. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it with the Arabic word hijaj, and hijaj means years. Sab'i hijaj or thamani hijaj, wa fi riwaya tis'i hijaj, 7 years or 8 years or 9 years. What happens in those years? As I said, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the peace and justice back to people after it was filled up with injustice and oppression. And Allah azza wa jal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down the barakah, the blessings of the heavens and the earth, the blessings where the rain will start raining, and once the rain comes, the crops will start planting, a lot of plants, a lot of food, a lot of money, a lot of money, that people will come to him and say, give us, and he'll just give and give and give, and he does not say no. He does not say no, he just gives and gives. There's a lot of barakah. And the way that we, the best mean of the sustenance is to have barakah in your sustenance, to have barakah in your living. When you have barakah in your living, you have blessings. And Allah Azza wa Jalla increases the blessings and the goods and the benefits of what you get, not because of the amount or because of the number, it's because of the blessings that you get from behind it. The barakah is important, and that's why these days people get a lot of money, but there's no barakah. Back then people didn't get much money, but there was a lot of barakah. There was a lot of benefit and good coming out of him, out of it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the rain will start coming down and the crops will start planting and there'll be so much money. But you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring love among the nation of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and then that people will start loving each other, people will start respecting each other, people will unite with one another, stand up for each other, be there for each other. No more hatred or dispute between the Muslims. Why? Because now they're united under one righteous Khalifa, a man that comes from the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned and praised. And people will be honored. They'll have the honor and the dignity that they'll be content with whatever they get. They'll be content of whatever they get. They don't complain and whinge. Oh, I only get that much, I only have that much. They'll have satisfaction of what they get. And that's why Imam al-Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, will stand in front of the people and say, Is there anyone among us that's got a right in the wealth that we have? So no one will put his hand up. No one will stand up. At the end, one man will stand up and say, I have rights in your money. I have rights in the money that you have. So he'll come and he'll tell the servant, give him as much as we have, give him. So he comes and then he collects so much money. And then when he's walking out, he gets embarrassed and says, am I the only one out of all this crowd and all these people stood up to say, I need this money? La ba Allah, I have to be shameful about it. So he comes back and says, take it, I don't want it anymore. So the Mahdi says, what we give, we'll never take back. What we give, we'll never take back, just take it. People will be content. People will be content of what they get. And there'll be money and he'll give a lot of money. And then he'll go, and then he'll go all the way to Iraq, and he'll go to Damascus and take until he enter Jerusalem. Enter Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem he'll stay, and in Jerusalem he'll die. And his time, as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend down, Allah azza wa jal will send down Isa alayhi salam. Isa will be a follower of the Mahdi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And at the time of Isa, Awar al-Dajjal will appear. So Isa alayhi salam and the Mahdi will go behind, will go after the Dajjal to kill him. And at the time of Isa al-Mahdi, the Dajjal will be killed. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the period of the Mahdi is the most blessed and the most beautiful and the easy period on my nation. Will be a period of blessings, a period of victory, a period of justice, a period of peace, a period of honor of being a Muslim. As I said before, there will be hardly people saying Allah, Allah, or whoever says Allah, Allah will be executed. But now Islam had ruled and Islam had became victorious, and Islam now is the ruler. That the scholars say only 5 people will rule this world, 4 already did, and 1 is coming up, and that's Muhammad ibn Abdullah. After the 7 years where Muhammad ibn Abdullah the Mahdi passes away, the Muslims will pray on him, and then Isa alayhi salam will take over, because he'll be in this world for 40 years, and that's when the major signs of the Day of Judgment will follow one after another until the sun rises from the west. At that time, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there will be no iman will be accepted from people at that time. No repentance will be accepted from people at that time. That's why all Muslims, all brothers, all sisters, teenagers, remember your religion and remember where you stand. Remember your religion and remember where you stand. This What we just mentioned right now is something that might not happen or happen. It's something that's going to happen. Something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said will happen. So you'll be those honored ones to be the first people with this man if it appears at your time. And if it does not appear at your time, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together, you with them in the hereafter, to be with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya akhwani, think about your purpose in this world. Think about your purpose of your existence in this world. You're here to worship Allah, to uphold the deen of Allah, to be with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to follow the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We're not here to follow the kufr or the kuffar. We're not here to follow the corruption. We're not here to follow the haram, but we're here to uphold the righteous path, the path of the prophets and the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Ya akhwani, take what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam had just shared with us now. These are the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And sallallahu alayhi wasallam constantly used to speak about it. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam used to speak more about the Dajjal, which we're going to speak about next week. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam used to speak so much about the Dajjal that the companions saw that the Dajjal is with them. They used to go out in the bushes looking for the Dajjal. And that's 1400 years ago. Ya akhwani, the day of judgment is very near. The day of judgment is very close. And we're going to be part of that day of judgment. We're going to be in that day of judgment. At that time, nothing will help you. Nothing will be with you. Nothing will stand by you. Except the religion that you have. Ya akhwani, work on this religion. Especially us as youth. Take care of your religion. Take care of the most expensive thing you have in your life. Take care of it, ya akhwani. Don't lose it. Don't lose it for the sake of an entertainment that disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't lose it for the sake of fun that you think it's fun, that's committing haram. Don't lose your religion for the sake of the shaitan. Don't lose your religion for the sake of following misguided people. This is your religion. It's the most expensive thing and the most honorable thing you have in your life. You must take care of it. You grab onto it. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Uddu alayha bin nawajid." You grab onto it with your teeth. With your teeth, the teeth are the most expensive, or the teeth are the most valuable thing you have in your body. The Prophet ﷺ told you, grab on his sunnah. Grab on his sunnah with your teeth, then let go. Then let go of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya akhwani, there's nothing for us these days except the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There's nothing left for us except the Quran. This whole world is turning against Islam and the Muslims, and Islam is going to reach to what the Prophet ﷺ said, will be no one will be allowed to say Allah, Allah. You turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla at this time, ya ikhwani, and don't follow those followers. At this time will be a time of, this time is a time of conflict, this time is a time of corruption, this time is a time of affliction. The Prophet ﷺ described the people, at this time they'll be so confused that the most wisest and smartest men out of all of them will be confused what to do and who to follow and who to go with. This is the time, ya ikhwani. Grab onto the deen of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So they asked the Prophet, oh Prophet Allah, what do we do at this time? He said, grab onto my sunnah and the sunnah of the khulafa after me, the khulafa al-rashideen, like Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Ya ikhwani, they are your role models. They are your example. They are the ones you follow. Take all this following of the non-believers or the following of the corruption out of your heart and have the following of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Dream about it. Wake up every morning reminding yourself about it. Every evening you remind and you judge yourself about it. Talk about it all the time. Have it in your life. If you're not going to implement it as being a Muslim in a non-Muslim country, then who is? Who are you waiting for? And what are you waiting for? It's your religion that you have to take care of, and it's your religion that you have to uphold. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. Ikhwani, as I said today, I just mentioned to you all the authentic ahadith that I could come up with. And as I told you, do not listen or hear of all these fabricated ahadith, especially on this topic, the topic of the Mahdi. Don't let the shaitan come to you in a way saying there is no going back to the deen of Islam until the Mahdi comes. That's only a shaitan comes to us through that gate saying, look, there is nothing for you of Islam only when the Mahdi comes. No, the Prophet ﷺ didn't leave us this way, but Islam will be honored whether before Mahdi or after Mahdi, and the people of Islam will be honored in this world. If not in this world, they'll be in the hereafter. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem, Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Allahumma ahdi ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma aslih ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ahfil al-Muslimin wal-Muslimat wal-Mu'minin wal-Mu'minat. Al-Ahya'i minhum wal-Amwat. Innaka ya Rabbana qareeb mujib lid-da'awat. اللهم يا ارحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين وفقنا لما تحبه وترضاه استخدمنا لدينك ورفع راية نبيك اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Last advice for my brothers. Last advice for my brothers that care about the religion. يا إخواني, if you want to protect your religion, you need to come more often to the mosque. This mosque, and there's 5 daily prayers in the congregational prayer in the jama'ah, were made to protect you and your religion. Believe me, when you just pray Fajr in jama'ah in the mosque, you find your whole day being protected and your whole religion is being protected. Force yourself to come to this house. The way you force yourself to wake up every morning and go to work for 8 hours, I think you could force yourself to come here for 8 minutes. Subhanakallah, hamdak, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.